Rush Limbaugh shared his comedy for years. Now you'll hear it here. It's the Rob Carson Show.
Hey, it is the Rob Carson Show. Hello and happy Thursday to ya. I would assume that many of you may be, kind of blowing off early tomorrow, maybe even this afternoon from your job. I don't know. It is, of course, July 4th weekend. I hope that you are looking forward to it. Here's what I'm doing. Are you ready for this? Here's what this was. What while the cat's away, the mice will play. So my wife is going to see her sister and her mom. And she left this morning. She was delayed because her sister's flight, of course, was canceled yesterday because, flying right now is a Charlie Foxtrot. It's a major Charlie Foxtrot. So her flight was delayed or canceled altogether. She had to fly out this morning rather than yesterday. And literally, the networks are now giving you tips on what to do when your flight is canceled and your vacation is screwed, essentially scrod, as it were, because it's really bad. I'm glad that I don't have any flight plans anytime soon, and I'm going to be here. But that back to the story here, the cat's away. I would be the mouse. My kids are here with me, my 22-year-old son and my 17-year-old daughter. And as soon as the show is over today, I'm going to go get some fireworks. Oh, you betcha. You betcha. Missouri's right over here, and there are parts of the state where I live, Kansas, where there's a big old fireworks display. So I am going to go get some fireworks. It's best when you're married, honestly. I'm just going to say there are some things you certainly don't want to decide on, without the other person's input. You know, they're major purchases, like maybe a new car. You probably don't, unless it's a birthday present, you're going to surprise her with it or anything. But there are some times where you shoot first and you ask questions later. That's just what you do. So I'm going to go get fireworks, and when she arrives here on, Tuesday morning or whatever, she will see the garbage full of fireworks, empty spent cases and whatnot, and I'll take some hell for that. But in the meantime, I did that with the snowblower and the riding lawnmower. But, there are some other ones that didn't work out so well. Did not work out so well. So we have a lot of stuff to get on the show today. The Democrats' big J6 testimony with Cassidy Hutchinson has done a face plant, and I've got a lot of new audio and new information on that. Even Fox News is not clearing up that this story by Cassidy Hutchinson was made up with regard to the Secret Service. Fox News is denying it. We got some Brett Baer news today. He's jumped the shark. I know Brett. I've known him for a while. I'm good friends with him and hang out with he and his family. But I used to host the Children's National Medical Center big gala with him. And he has a young child who had gone through a good deal of heart issues when they were an infant, and now appears to be doing quite well. So I'm very glad for him. But I'll tell you what, man, there are some shows on Fox that I watch. I like McTucker, but I'm moved. I just moved. I work for Newsmax, obviously. The one thing that I've discovered about Newsmax that's working there, I started about 2 years ago doing a radio show or TV show there, the hosts don't change their stripes. So that's a positive. So we got some audio on that. We've got to, a big victory, a Supreme Court victory, another conservative victory, this one regarding energy today. And I don't know about you, but where I live, literally a mile from my house, there are train tracks. And every day or so, there is a train full of coal going south because there's a giant coal-fired power plant south of Kansas City, which powers Kansas City. There are no wind farms and there are no solar panels. I mean, there are some around the area, but it doesn't power the city, and it never will. There aren't enough wind farms or enough solar power to run a city the size of Kansas City or just about any city in America, to be quite honest, unless, of course, you want every ounce of farmland taken by stupid solar panels made in China. So, but there's some good news with regard to coal, good old reliable, clean burning coal. Yes, that's good news. Also, I've got some more stuff on the abortion front we'll get to. I do want to start with a story that is undoubtedly one of the most tragic that I've seen in a while. And we have seen some good news and some bad news as far as the country is concerned with regard to crime in major cities. Democrat-run enclaves generally are seeing a gigantic spike in crime. Where I live right now in lovely Olathe, Kansas. It's also Olathe, we like to say Olathe. If you're not from here, it makes people mad. Anyway, Olathe, Kansas. I was talking to my wife about this last night, and she's kind of like center, maybe Scotian, a little bit to the left, little. And I said, how many, honey, could you tell me how many smash and grab robberies there were in Johnson County, Kansas last, so far this year? And she said, I don't know. I said, well, it's been none. And it's because concealed carry is very effective here. You can conceal carry rather easily. I would venture to say, since moving here about 6 years ago, I probably have met at least 100 people who conceal carry. I've even seen people open carry here, which, you know, I don't care. It doesn't bother me because I'm a responsible gun owner. And I know what a gun is there for. It is there for your defense. It's not an offensive weapon. It is a defensive weapon. And it is not for hunting and target practice. So in Johnson County, Kansas, where I live, liquor stores, you could pretty much not have a cage around the person working at the convenience store. You could pretty much not have a cage working around you at the liquor store. Because a good time, a good chance that the person working at that liquor store late at night is working now without a cage because he got a gun. So, you know, this happens. This is going to change in New York City. And by the way, the... all of the onerous regulations with regard to concealed carry were blown up by the Supreme Court the other day in a case in New York City where they made it ungodly difficult to get concealed carry. And I wonder how many have died because they weren't able to defend themselves. I mean, we live in a country. Here's the deal. If we just lived in a world where the weapon, the only weapon available was swords, then you could have a sword, all right? And if the only thing in the world was a baseball bat, you would defend yourself with a baseball bat. In a country where we have the Second Amendment and you can own and it's constitutionally guaranteed, and some people who are really bad people can get a hold of them, usually illegally, isn't your best bet to be able to defend yourself with that firearm? Hell yes. A mother on the Upper East Side Wednesday evening, walking her toddler in a stroller. Brand new mom, 20 years old. Is a very wealthy neighborhood. Little three-month-old baby there. Walking by a playground. All of a sudden, someone walks out of the shadows, puts a gun to her head, murders her right there on the spot. Now, this neighborhood is one of the most affluent in New York. It has a $1.5 million average house for price for homes, private schools everywhere. Horrified children at the neighborhood playground witnessed the horrific shooting, and one girl described hearing a loud boom. She realized there was a gunshot. She was a 10-year-old girl. Said, I was really confused because I thought maybe this was fireworks, but then I realized, no, this was serious, and there was a gunshot. And I was, it really frightened me because I was right there at the park playing, and I never would have thought this would happen. A lot of people running, and I saw a woman down there. She fell. I was worried, but then I wanted to stay calm because I didn't want to any interaction, and I didn't want anything else to happen. That's a 10-year-old. Now, most probably, if you look at a profile on incidents like this, this is a domestic violence issue. This is probably, and this will, if it is, it will be very easily solved with a DNA test. But who knows at this point? It is a horrific story. It is unbelievable that we live in a country where someone would come and walk up behind a new mother of 20 years old and put a bullet in her head. I can't even imagine. I remember when my wife had my son, and my daughter, of course, but you're a new dad for the first time, my son, and she'd go out in her jogging, take the jogging stroller and take her son out, and then she ended up training for marathons and all this stuff, you know, and I can't imagine what it'd be like to know that my wife was walking our three-month-old son when she was murdered in cold blood on the streets of New York City. Now concealed carry is going to be a lot easier to have in the city of New York. And as far as the death toll from it, the only people who might end up on the losing end of the deal are those who would try to commit acts of violence or murder like this. I doubt this woman even had a chance because she had no idea what was happening. It was someone who sneaked up behind her, presumably had planned the attack, unlike some of the subway attacks you've seen in New York City where insane homeless people shove people downstairs, shove people off subway platforms to their deaths. Don't you suppose if someone was nearby concealed carrying, they could have at least subdued that person or perhaps even stopped it from happening? Here is Kathy Hochul, the governor of New York, hopefully not for much longer. Lee Zeldin is the Republican candidate, and so I do support Lee Zeldin's candidacy, although he was not originally my choice. Here is Kathy Hochul talking about concealed carry, and when it comes to hearing actual facts, she is absolutely committed to not listening to them.
Do you have the numbers to show that it's the concealed carry permit holders that are committing crimes? Because the lawful gun owner will say that you're attacking the wrong person.
Now, this is true. It has happened in municipalities across the country time and time again without fail. If concealed carry is legal in different cities, the crime rate goes down. End of story.
It's really people that are getting these guns illegally that are causing the violence, not the people going and getting the permit legally, and that's the basis.
And these are what are these called? What are these gosh darn things called? That they're called facts. They're facts. Yeah, they're facts.
For the whole Supreme Court argument, do you have the numbers?
I don't need to have numbers.
I don't need to have the numbers. So I just given you the facts. Here's the numbers. I don't need to have those numbers.
People that are getting these guns illegally that are causing the violence, not the people going and getting the permit legally. And that's the basis for the whole Supreme Court argument. Do you have the numbers?
I don't need to have numbers. I don't have to have a data point.
No, you do. You actually do. You need to have some sort of proof that concealed carry guaranteed by the Second Amendment is dangerous to the community, and you don't.
Point two to say that this is going to matter. All I know is I have a responsibility to the people of this state to have sensible gun safety laws, and this one was not devised by the Hochul administration.
Because it would have been a major Charlie Foxtrot.
Comes out of an administration from 1908. I don't need a data point to make the case that
No, you do. You do need a data point because, see, it's been upheld by the Constitution, by the Supreme Court. The ownership of a firearm has been upheld. And New York has been wrong for over 100 years.
Responsibility.
And you've made New York into hell. You and Democrats have made New York and New York City into hell on earth.
To protect the people of this state.
Somebody who's going to go do a mass shooting or something like that may not go get a concealed carry permit.
I never said there's any correlation between our solution here and the Buffalo case. In fact, I signed a...
Then what the hell did you sign gun reform legislation after the Buffalo shooting, you doofus?
A package of 10 laws following Buffalo that dealt with the issues that were raised there.
Hochul's gun laws, passed after the Topps grocery store shooting in Buffalo, raised the age at which a New Yorker can purchase a firearm.
Yeah, that'll stop it.
To 21. But now there are questions about whether restricting public spaces under the new bills infringe on Second Amendment rights.
What if they can't practice self-defense because of the restrictions?
My point, let me give you like statistics. You like numbers?
Yeah. We'd like to hear some of your statistics now that you told us that our statistics are worthless.
I said at the outset, 5 people per 100,000 have died from gun violence in the state of New York.
Okay, again, you're an idiot. Those are people who obtain the guns illegally, and they are generally criminals. So you lose. I'm going to share details on this EPA case coming up. Another victory for conservatism. Another victory for your pocketbook, among other things. The number here is 800-922-6680. You are listening to The Rob Carson Show.
Proud to serve as the iceberg to the SS Titanic every day. It's The Rob Carson Show.
Yeah! In 1776,
fireworks!
There were fireworks too. The original colonist, you know their tempers blew.
Schoolhouse Rock!
Like Thomas Paine once wrote, it's only common sense.
Wow, things have changed just a little bit since I grew up.
And if a government won't give you your basic rights, you better get another government.
Now, listen to that. That was the Declaration of Independence. They just, this is the kids' television from when I was a kid. If the government don't do what you want, we'll just get another one.
Though some people tried to fight it.
They fought it.
Well, a committee was formed to write it. Benjamin Franklin, Philip Livingston, John Adams, Roger Sherman, Thomas Jefferson.
They're all a bunch of white, slave-owning, colonialists.
They got it done. The Declaration.
Declaration of Independence.
In 1776.
Now they'd probably have, like, Thomas Jefferson is identifying as a woman, and Ben Franklin is, cisgendered white male, so he'd probably be excluded.
Continental Congress said that we were free. Said we had the right of life and liberty.
And what else?
And the pursuit of happiness.
Now, that's the ultimate political correctness, because there's this in this line here. He says, in the pursuit of happiness. And it shows a guy chasing after a woman, like his, somebody he wants to date or something across in front of the screen. So they got rid of that. But that's the way it used to be, kids. That's the way it used to be. I know a lot of Schoolhouse Rock still use. They were wonderful. I remember the preamble Constitution because of Schoolhouse Rock. I remember my verbs and my adjectives and conjunction, certainly conjunction, junction. But all of those things have changed. It is remarkable. I mean, see, this is the thing. This is why I reject all this nonsense. I reject all this nonsense about, it's 1863 again. It's 1968 again. Race, that divides us more than ever. And everybody hates America and all. No, not at all. No, not at all. If that were the case, then why would 85% of Americans, including 80% of Democrats, say we're going in the wrong direction? I've never seen a stat like that before. I've never seen a stat where so many people in this country said America's going in the wrong direction. Now you're thinking, oh, well, that could mean a lot of things. And yes, it could mean a lot of things. But if you take everything that's going on in the country right now, including the economy, most would conclude, what the hell happened to my country? We're going in the wrong friggin' direction. Because 99% of us believe that, you shouldn't be giving your kid puberty blockers and doing mutilating surgery before puberty. Yeah? And most of us believe in capitalism, and most of us believe in the glory of owning your own business, and most of us certainly believe that the greatest thing you can do in your life is to have children and have a family and love that family. And love that family. Does it have to be a biological? No. Does it have to be two, a man and a woman as the heads of the household? No. If you're willing to commit somebody for life, I ain't God. Well, so you want to stay with somebody the rest of your life? You want to raise a family? You want to love those kids? I'm going to say that, you're going to burn in hell for that. No. That said, Supreme Court has ruled for coal-producing states. Oh, we're all going to die. All of our kids are going to die. Oh, my God, the climate is going to change. Barack Obama is going to have to sell his two homes on seafront property for $30 million. He's going to have to sell them because they're going to be inundated with water. Supreme Court Thursday ruled for a major coal-producing states and sharply limited the Biden administration's authority to restrict the carbon pollution that is causing global warming, which is disputed because one minute it's global cooling, then it's global warming, and now it's just climate change. Why did they say global warming? Global warming has been disputed. They had to change it. The justice agreed with lawyers for West Virginia, said Congress did not give environmental regulators broad authority to reshape the system for producing electric power by switching from coal to natural gas, wind turbines, and solar energy. Writing for the majority, Chief Justice John Roberts said Congress and not the EPA has the authority to decide on fighting climate change. Again, it's specious, all right? Capping carbon monoxide emissions at the level that will force a nationwide transition away from the use of coal to generate electricity may be a sensible solution to the crisis of the day, he wrote, but it is not plausible that Congress gave EPA the authority to adopt on its own such regulatory scheme. Meaning, if you want to go live in a state where electricity is ungodly expensive and hyper-regulated, you can. They just did the same thing with abortion, and they just did the same thing with concealed carry. Yay! Yay, freedom. It's the Rob Carson Show. Stick around. It is 4th of July weekend coming up. I know that many of you probably maybe scooting out today, maybe trying to go to the airport. It might probably be a good idea to have your flight today, and hopefully you'll be on a plane by Saturday. I'm thinking that's about it. That's about it. It is not. It's not good. It's not a good time to travel. Victory for the Trump administration. Victory for fossil fuels that are the only thing right now that really is effective as far as powering the nation. And that, of course, includes gasoline, that includes natural gas, that includes coal, because there are no, solar-powered fishing vessels. I don't think so. And there are no solar-powered powered tractors out there. No, it's all pretty much run by fossil fuels. Here's John Kerry yesterday. John Kerry flies around in a number of private jets, owns several mansions, has a penchant for being able to find billionaire heiresses and marry them. Why didn't I know about him 24 years ago? Here he is talking about the next big crisis in the world, which is, you know, those boats that go across the ocean that deliver things, you know, like giant oil carriers. He wants to green them up.
The ocean is a source of climate solutions, and they can help to keep the 1.5 degrees target alive. For example, we need to spur the...
Why is Barack Obama not selling his two homes? His two homes, both on seashore in Hawaii and also in Martha's Vineyard.
Transition to green shipping. If shipping were a nation, shipping would be the eighth largest emitter in the world. In May, the United States and Norway...
Yeah, okay, and there's no green solutions to that right now. Those giant container ships, they're really big and they're really heavy, you see. And they require a lot of energy to go across the ocean. And right now, you have to fill up those tanker ships with fuel to carry that weight across the ocean. And a good share of that transportation is fuel. Fuel, by the way. You know, like from our national reserve over to Europe, which Joe Biden is down with. And by the way, things are not going to get much better because you have idiots in charge. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg said on Thursday he's going to launch $1 billion pilot program to address racially segregated roads. He said that the highway system in America is racist. Did you notice that? There was a story, I think it was like in Delaware or something. There was a neighborhood and there was a bridge that was too low, so low that buses that presumably would be filled with children of color couldn't go under the bridge to go swimming. And I guess a smart thing would do to get in another car or even walk. But this apparently was enough to stop black people from swimming. So the roads are racist. There is that. Let's move on to, I think, what the big story of the day, the meat and the potatoes, of course, which is the show trial. And once again, guys, the Democrats do a face plant. We'll start with the theme song. There's no show trial like
There's
a show trial.
No trial like a show trial, like no trial that I know.
This is Jim Gossett.
Everything about it is deceiving. The January 6th committee lies. A bunch of crap that no one is believing. The tales they're weaving, nobody buys.
Brett Bear still
There's
does.
No people but Joe's people who'd fall for this lame show. Adam Schiff's a liar who's been caught before. Kim Zinger is a major bore.
Yeah.
Liz Cheney won't be in the Congress anymore. Of course, this trial is for show. Yes, this trial is a show.
So, Cassidy Hutchinson decides to testify the other day. She was around 23 years old when January the 6th took place. presumably right out of college, somehow was able to become this huge influential individual in Washington, D.C., with an inside scoop on just about anything. Now, she had testified that she heard from someone who heard from someone that Donald Trump wanted to go back to the Capitol after his speech on January the 6th, and the Supreme, or the driver, Secret Service agent, who is a trained killing machine, trained presumably in hand-to-hand combat, the President of the United States decided to come forward into the Beast, which is separated by a bulletproof glass wall, and reach in to try to grab the steering wheel and say, go back to the Capitol because I'm the effing president. And then he tried to signal that he was pointing at the Secret Service driver's clavicle, indicating that he was ready to strangle the Secret Service agent. And we're going to believe that. And also another horrible thing that happened to her is that she was called into an office where there was a broken plate on the floor and some ketchup on the wall. And she says that Donald Trump was unhinged and he threw that plate at the wall. That's what he did. And Secret Service Communications Chief stated on Wednesday the agency, listen to this, now this is kind of interesting, was not asked to corroborate Cassidy Hutchinson's Tuesday testimony before the January 6th committee, where she claimed, with secondhand knowledge, that former President Donald Trump tried to commandeer the Beast after his rally that day. So the two Secret Service agents who said, no, this didn't happen, well, they've just been confirmed, and the Secret Service communications have said, yeah, the January 6th committee, they just went ahead with their testimony, didn't ask us a damn thing. Which goes to show you that they are not listening to anything from the other side of the equation, not deciding if anything what the other side has to say is cogent at all, and they're just presenting a one-sided kangaroo court. Duh! Did anyone think that was it was anything else? We were not asked to reappear before the committee in response to yesterday's new information, and we plan on formally responding on the record, Anthony Giulemi wrote in the Politico, or in an email to the Politico. We have and will continue to make any member of the Secret Service available. Now, of course, NBC's reported that Bobby Engel, Trump's Secret Service man on duty on January 6th, would testify under oath to contradict Hutchinson's story of Trump's alleged attempt to commandeer the Beast. This kills everything she said on Tuesday. This means everything that she said on Tuesday is suspect because she's lying. Politico reported Wednesday the committee had already interviewed the Secret Service agents in question. Engel, whose testimony is not known to include the stunning details Hutchinson described, it's not clear why the select panel didn't seek further collaboration or corroboration with the Secret Service as it planned Hutchinson's hearing. It's because they don't want anything to counter her. They're only presenting one side. They're only presenting the prosecution. Don't you see this? Of course you do. Everybody sees it. Members of the Select Committee have said they welcome any more information about the Secret Service altercation that supports Cassidy Hutchinson that witnesses could provide under oath. Here's what ABC News, reliably left of center and very anti-Trump, had to say about it.
One of those sources telling me that the president did return to the vehicle after his speech on the morning of January 6th and asked Agent Robert Engel if he could go to the Capitol. Engel said something to the effect of that being unwise or dangerous and that the motorcade was going to take the president back to the White House. A source close to the Secret Service just told me to expect that the Secret Service will push back against any allegation of an assault against an agent or President Trump reaching for the steering wheel.
Which would mean that the story that she said on the stand that she heard from someone who heard it from someone else was false. Well, that's perjury. I mean, if she lies under oath, that's perjury. Well, no, it's not. Not if you don't have the people who are saying this didn't happen testify. Yeah. They don't need to prove a damn thing. And they're not going to either. Cassidy Hutchinson fabricated testimony about a conversation with the former White House counsel Pat Cipollone. Cassidy Hutchinson, former White House aide, the star witness of the committee in the star chamber during a surprise hearing held on Tuesday, reportedly fabricated pieces of her own testimony about conversations she had with former White House counsel Pat Cipollone. Hutchinson claimed that Sipp alone told her to tell Trump's boss, Chief of Staff Mark Meadows, that former President Donald Trump should not go to the Capitol on January the 6th. Hutchinson testified that Sipp alone said, "We're going to get charged with every crime imaginable if Trump went to the Capitol." However, Sipp alone was reportedly not at the White House on the morning of January the 6th, according to the Human Events senior editor Jack Posobiec. I know this guy is great. I can't pronounce his name. Multiple sources, including one who was at the White House on January 6th, tell me Sipp alone was not there in the AM when Hutchinson testified she spoke with him. Posobiec tweeted on Wednesday evening, "The January 6th committee is aware of this discrepancy, according to Posobiec, and are ignoring media inquiries about it. Seems she made up the entire conversation." Wow, just wow. Here is my buddy Rob Schmidt on Newsmax talking about it yesterday.
Finally, NBC reporting that the Secret Service agents that Cassidy Hutchinson today testified were assaulted by Trump are ready to testify that Hutchinson is lying. We had it at the top.
She's literally saying to her counsel this morning, "Does this mean I won't get a job on MSNBC?" To which the person says, "Nah, you're going to get a better contract out of this."
The show, more desperation, more lies from another Democrat committee. Again, Christine Blasey Ford, Adam Schiff. We've seen this show a million times. But take a listen.
It's called a Schiff show.
How it was handled over at Fox.
"We are now hearing from the former president on various..."
Fox still isn't correcting this, by the way.
"...various posts where he questions her accuracy. He goes after her directly, says he doesn't know who she is, and said he didn't lunge at the Secret Service."
Brett Baer actually had one of his toes bitten off as he was jumping the shark.
"Agent in the Beast, that didn't happen. He says he didn't throw his lunch against the wall. That didn't happen, and that she's lying." Cassidy Hutchinson is under oath on Capitol Hill.
Of course she's under oath, yeah. But there's nobody countering her.
The president is on Truth Social, making his statements.
Well, really quickly, just so fast, the tables turn. And now you've got both the agents that were in the car saying, yeah, that is a lie.
Yeah, it is a lie. Here's Molly Hemingway, who I actually admire as a journalist, talking about the joke trial.
This committee has engaged in widespread manipulation of evidence. They're refusing to provide the testimony of people who dispute the narrative that they're...
Now, remember also, Cassidy Hutchinson said she's pregnant with Bigfoot's baby.
...trying to construct. They are...
More believable than her story about the Secret Service.
...are really running roughshod over our American...
Liz Warren said she'd pay for the abortion.
...in ideals of what should happen when you accuse people of crimes and whether there should be an ability to make a defense or have a cross-examination. I mean, those rights are enshrined in the Constitution. And our
not in this trial.
Congressional committees are supposed to honor that in the way that they...
Well, these aren't honorable people.
...conduct their hearings. That has not been the case since day one. And today, this was just absurd. And I have to say, if you believe...
It was a chicken foot.
...believed this absolutely...
Charlie Foxtrot.
...ludicrous story from this person... even before it was disputed by everyone on the record, you should not be involved in politics, in
yes.
journalism. And you
yes.
should really think deeply about whether you're able to really analyze information at the level that you should.
Yeah. Now, after Molly talked, they found Brett Baer in the fetal position, sucking his thumb in the Fox studio. He was crying. On the way, Joe Scarborough gets biblical. He gets biblical. He compares, like, I don't know, Liz Cheney to Jesus or something. You got that on the way. And more details. Your calls are welcome, but I think she's more like somebody on the other side of Jesus. Maybe Judas. 800-922-6680. This is the Rob Carson Show.
If the left tells you to quiet down, get louder. It's the Rob Carson Show.
One of those sources telling me that the president did return to the vehicle after his speech on the morning of January 6th and asked Agent Robert Engel if he could go to the Capitol. Engel said something to the effect of that being unwise or dangerous and that the motorcade was going to take the president back to the White House.
Now, I believe that according to Cassidy Hutchinson, she says that this enraged Donald Trump so badly that he, as a 70-plus-year-old man, went from the back of an armor-plated his limousine, punched his hole through a glass wall, reached through, attempted to grab the steering wheel, and then attempted to strangle the guy. Of course, now the Secret Services agents are saying, you're high.
A source close to the Secret Service just told me to expect that the Secret Service will push back against any allegation of an assault against an agent or President Trump reaching for the steering wheel.
Yeah, in other words, it was a giant flaming pile of crap. Secret Service agent, former White House attorney, dispute major parts of January 6th witness testimony. After the testimony of the White House aide, who not many people in the United States ever heard of, major parts of her testimony were rebuffed by those with the knowledge of what actually happened. The former aide said that she was told of the altercation in the SUV immediately afterward by a White House security official, but that Bobby Engel, the head of the detail, was in the room and didn't dispute the account at the time. Engel had grabbed Trump's arm to prevent him from gaining control of the armored vehicle, she was told, and Trump then used his free hand to lunge at Engel. Then he was done with that. He punched a hole through the glass in the sunroof and grabbed onto an awaiting helicopter, where he grabbed Melania by the waist and carried her away as the limousine actually careened over a bridge that had been blown up by a fighter plane, like in the end of True Lies. That happened. That was Donald Trump. That was him. The account was quickly disputed on Tuesday. Engel, the agent who was driving the presidential SUV, and Trump security official Tony Ornano, not to be confused with Tony Orlando, are willing to testify under oath that no agent was assaulted and Trump never lunged for the steering wheel. Maybe he said, let's go out for lunch. Lunch. You're lunging at me. No. I said lunch. A person familiar with the matter said the person would not discuss the matter publicly. It spoke to the Associated Press on condition of anonymity. Now, we know that the Secret Service agents had said this. We know that this is what they witnessed. And yet the J6 hearing people, knowing that Cassidy Hutchinson, nobody had ever heard of her before, was going to testify, and they didn't bother to corroborate the story with the Secret Service. They just went with Cassidy's story, which was hearsay of the third person. Yeah, kind of weird. Let's go to Sean in Live Oak, California, the home of KSCO, one of our glorious affiliates. Hello there, Sean. Welcome to the show. What's going on?
Hi there. And a lot of things that are happening in this hearing sort of reminds me from an episode of Seinfeld.
Okay.
and this was George Costanza.
Yes.
And he said, it's not a lie if you believe it.
Yes, yes, yes. I saw that quote the other day. That was, oh, my God. I saw that the other day. You're right. That is perfect, and that is a perfect example, because this is a woman who is lying during her testimony, and I believe the January 6th committee knows, would have to know, that the Secret Service are disputing this, but they went ahead and put her there. Do you believe that she really believes what she says, or that maybe she is attempting to secure a job or some sort of infamy, which generally means famous and successful when you're on the left side of the political equation? What do you think, Sean?
Well, I think it's mostly delusion. I think this is something that the Democrat side suffers from a lot, because
They're willing to invest. They're willing to invest in something without any proof at all. They say this about the election of 2020. We have no proof. This is what they say about us who look at the reams of evidence and say, no, there is. In this case, there is the opposite of this. There is proof. They just didn't bother to have the witnesses who could say, no, her story was bunk, and they didn't bother to put them on the stand, Sean. That's the difference. Thanks for the phone call. Here's George Costanza.
Jerry, just remember, it's not a lie if you believe it.
That is fantastic. Let's take a break. You're listening to The Rob Carson Show.
Jerry, just remember, it's not a lie if you believe it.
That's right. So you could say that about climate change. You could say that about all sorts of things, but kind of a Democrat mantra if you would, from George Costanza of Seinfeld. We've got much more coming up, including a special guest, Sam Sorbo, the author of Words for Warriors, married to Kevin Sorbo. More on the Jan 6th and abortion coming up next.
Rush Limbaugh shared his comedy for years. Now you'll hear it here. It's the Rob Carson Show.
Hour number two of the Rob Carson Show on this Thursday. I want to remind you that if you're bored this weekend, you're traveling this weekend, maybe you're just hanging out of the house, whatever, listen to the podcast of the show, will you? We're doing the whole show. Every day we're putting the entire show up on all of our digital platforms, all of your digital platforms, Spotify and Apple Podcasts and iHeartMedia and whatnot. Just go to, actually, if you want to find a whole list of them, just go to NewsmaxTV.com/podcast. NewsmaxTV.com/podcast. Now, we've been talking about this Cassidy Hutchinson, her testimony on Tuesday for the January 6th committee, which has been completely discredited because she apparently made it up. I had mentioned that rumor has it Donald Trump not only attempted to strangle the Secret Service agent in the Beast, but he also punched out the skylight to grab an awaiting helicopter where Melania Trump, he grabbed her by the waist and pulled her through the sunroof, and the Beast careened off of a bridge that had been taken out by a military aircraft. Here's the audio.
Come on, baby.
Donald Trump saying, come on, baby, grabbing her hand as she's screaming. And there's a helicopter. So
I got you.
Gotcha. Yeah, there you go. That's Donald Trump. That happened. That really happened. Just like Cassidy said in her testimony, in case you didn't know. Yeah, and also, if it wasn't enough for the left, and I think you'd get kind of tired of getting just your teeth kicked in every day. But apparently not. In the last 2 weeks, think about this. Pretty epic. Pretty epic. Voter ID in North Carolina upheld, okay? Concealed carry upheld by the Supreme Court, New York. People starting to arm up, already submitting their application for concealed carry in states like Maryland so they can save their lives in places like Baltimore where you really can't even go down in the Inner Harbor anymore without being worried you're going to get murdered. There's that. And then there was the thing, just last week. The thing, like Joe Biden says, the thing that allows vouchers to be given to parents who want an alternative from public schools that are either failing or teaching children nonsense like CRT and transgenderism and sexuality when they're, before puberty, all that stuff. Yeah. So now your voucher can be used, send your kid to a school, and if it's a Catholic school, then they can't say no. So you're not stuck anymore. See? And now the government doesn't have the only means of production, you see. You can go somewhere else, So, and then on top of this, I don't think I'm missing anything here. That's three big victories, right? That's pretty big stuff. Oh, Roe v. Wade. That thing. What was that? What was that thing? It was like from the 1970s or something. That allowed 63 million people to get murdered before they were born. There was that. It got kind of reversed. That's the end all as far as your humanity. If you're a woman, if you're a Democrat, that's the only reason you live is so you can abort a baby. That is it. That's the thing that makes it makes you a woman. Although we just swore in a new Supreme Court justice who could not define what a woman is. I'm thinking that that's not good because she's supposed to be the first black woman on the Supreme Court. So anyway, and then today, Supreme Court ruled that coal-producing states can tell the FDA, not the FDA, the EPA to suck it. Because the EPA issues all of these extraordinary edicts that make it impossible to do business and impossible for people to have their lights on. Stuff like that. The Supreme Court stripped the EPA of the power Congress gave it to respond to the most pressing environmental challenge of our time. This is according to Elena Kagan. She got her teeth kicked in, along with Sonia Sotomayor and Stephen Breyer, who retired this morning to be replaced by Ketanji Brown Jackson, which, by the way, is a wash. It's like it never even happened. So another victory, folks. Kind of a bummer for our climate czar, who knows how to marry really rich women and fly around in private jets with a big old carbon footprint.
I'm John Kerry, and it's bizarre. Joe would make me his climate
Never
czar.
Been in a private
when
jet.
I committed treason, that's a fact. Violated the Logan Act. Dang me. Dang me.
Dang it.
They ought to take a rope and hang me high from the highest tree. Sleeping with the enemy.
Or Donald Trump could strangle you. You know, be a little easier.
I'm John Kerry. I'm a total fraud. My son and Hunter stole lots of dough, and I became good friends with Joe.
Oh, yeah.
He admired my evil plan. Make a dirty deal with Iran. Dang me. Dang me. They ought to take a rope and hang me.
Yeah, you know.
High from the highest tree. Weep for me. I'm John Kerry and I should be hung.
Okay, well, I don't want to go there, but anyway. That is Jim Gossett, two S's and two T's, two S's and two T's, singing about, you know, John Kerry. And it is amazing. And, you know, just think about this. What do you think about this? I came up with the phrase, let the meat cake liberals, years and years and years ago, because I believe that we are living the story of a tale of two cities. For many years, we have watched the elites, the ruling class, you know, live the high life while asking us to live with less. While asking us all to live with less. So while you have to drive a crappy electric car you can't afford because they cost a minimum of like $56,000, you know, you can buy one of those crappy ones, while the people in Washington, D.C. can drive around in big old limousines. Yeah, big old those they're Suburbans. They got these Suburbans and they get about 12 miles a gallon. They got big old V8 engines and, you know, they ride around in motorcades of them just for one person. Pete Buttigieg, he rides in a motorcade, but you caught him right at the beginning of his tenure as a transportation secretary, where he's done nothing, by the way, except for today. They're going to get $1 billion to fight racism in roads. They're going to fight racism in roads. Will they have to change the name of Blacktop? I'm just saying, that's kind of racist. You know? Asphalt? You know, maybe it's not the ass's fault. I don't know. Some things you ought to think about. But anyway, they fly around in private jets. John Kerrigan's fly around in private jets. Have you ever flown in a private jet? I have never. I haven't even been in a private jet. Well, I guess I did. I visited Graceland years ago, and I got out of the Lisa Marie. You can do it as part of the, I think it's like $50 to go through Graceland and $10 more to go through the jet. So I got on the Lisa Marie, which is a private jet, Elvis Presley. But I've never been in a private jet before. It must be really, really nice to fly to climate summits where they talk about the end of the world because of, you know, carbon footprints and everything, and fly there in a private jet. It's got to be pretty sweet. So I don't think he's going to be delayed like my wife's sister was yesterday with her flight canceled. So victory, another victory. Although Joe Biden is going to continue to go after fossil fuels, got some news out of Texas I'll try to get to later on. They're going to try and shut down the largest oil-producing field in America, essentially, because they don't care that you're struggling. They really don't care where you're struggling. Two more little things on this testimony by Cassidy Hutchinson. Even ABC and CBS and NBC are now saying that Cassidy Hutchinson's testimony was specious at best. And of course, the mainstream media is going to do their level best to cover up this. Here is Joe Scarborough. And listen, it's really funny. They try to chase, prayer out of the classroom, and they can't believe that they allowed. Oh, I forgot the football coach. The football coach who's allowed to pray on the field. That's another Supreme Court victory. So that's like six in the last 2 weeks. I forgot about that. That's a big one. But, you know, they want to chase praying off the football field. But Joe Scarborough is certainly absolutely willing to make religious comparisons when he's trying to make a point that ultimately will be proven wrong.
Accurate.
Yeah, that would be accurate. John Heilman, they told the chief of staff of the president of the United States that There were people with AR-15s, with weapons.
Had to throw the AR-15 in there because it's a talking point now, because most Americans are misinformed about an AR-15, and the government has made it sound AR-15 bad.
Marching toward the Capitol.
Nobody had an AR-15. Nobody saw an AR-15. You're high.
Those kept looking at his phone. Could not care less. It was an extraordinary moment.
Is it like when you sold your soul to become a liberal? What did you pay for that soul, by the way? Or what did whoever pay for that soul? Or what did you accept as payment for that soul? Oh, it's the one sitting next to you. Okay.
He really played the role of a Pontius Pilate. While American democracy about to be crucified by this armed mob.
Oh, my God, that's fantastic. American democracy is going to be crucified like Christ. Are you out of your nut?
He said, I'm going to wash my hands of it.
Oh, to wash the hands, you bet. Keep it going. Lay it on a little thicker.
More dangerous. No, before you start getting ready to get your criminal defense attorneys and going to jail, I just want you to know, our door is still open. If you lied.
Now he's going to bring up another biblical comparison here that's, I mean, just so off, just off, off the wall.
If you need, as they say in the business, some time to refresh your recollection and
make... Or make up a story that's more suitable for the January 6th committee, like what they want to hear.
You go back and clean up previous testimony. The door's open. The water's warm. Come on in. But like Noah's Ark?
It's like Noah's Ark. Wow. It's like Noah's Ark. Now, interesting thing here. Before we switch to the economy and abortion. Well, let's go ahead and let's move on. Let's move on. I lost the clip there that I was going to share with you. But here's actually, let's do this. The ratings for this have not been broadcast since a week ago. All right. So the hearing started off with 20 million people. Then the following Monday was 10 million people. Then the following Wednesday, there was nobody paying attention to it. So they delayed it another day. They held the hearings. They had no ratings. Then they had the hearings on Tuesday. No ratings at all. We've heard nothing about it, which presumes and means that nobody's paying attention to this. But this is Donnie Deutsch, lovingly known as Donnie Douche, saying that that's a good thing because it means more people are interested.
If you can get a reader or a viewer to be asking that question at every interval, what happens next? I can't wait to see what happens next. What's going to happen next? They are hooked. And I think
are people really hooked now that Cassidy Hutchinson's testimony has been declared false?
This was a huge challenge for this committee. Again, I've never seen it before, but the thing they've done has been masterful in terms of isolating on specific stories, specific elements of the larger
that have been proven false
story they're trying to tell, and bringing people along beat by beat to the point where people who had no idea they were interested are now riveted.
And again, I need to see some numbers because nobody's paying attention.
And even people who aren't watching the hearings are getting a sense of what's going on in them because so many people are repeating the high points and they're focusing so intensely.
No, they're repeating the talking points of the mainstream media and not investigating the story. And generally, if you are confronted by someone who throws a talking point at you like that, you can kill their argument boom, just like that. That was violence. No. You can really destroy their argument in just 2 seconds with just one or two words. It's that simple. All right, going to move on to the economy, how expensive this weekend is going to be for you. Got to get into the abortion debate and Liz Warren saying that they want to open up national parks and make them abortion clinics, among the other things. Your phone calls are welcome at 800-922-6680. This is the Rob Carson Show.
It's time to make common sense common again. It's the Rob Carson Show.
It is the Rob Carson Show. I had played a soundbite from what I thought was Donnie Deutsch. It was John Heilemann. So they're really big on getting bald German guys on the show, apparently. So not Donnie Deutsch, although Deutsch doesn't have he's not bald, I guess, right? John Heilemann was the guy who said, oh, yeah, people are really interested in the January 6th hearing. And seriously, that's why we're covering up the ratings because, you know, everybody's watching it. It's so awesome. Yeah, not really. So going into the weekend, most Americans are concerned about their ability to afford day-to-day things. most Americans concerned about their ability. This according to a YouGov CBS poll. Survey asked respondents to identify whether they are confident or concerned about a range of issues regarding their spending habits in an era of a 41-year high inflation, record-breaking gas prices. 61% or 65% they're concerned about their ability to afford day-to-day things. I don't think I have to worry about in Washington, D.C., right? When was the last time Joe Biden or Nancy Pelosi had to worry about day-to-day expenses? You know, I guess it's sending an intern to Whole Foods to buy some $12 a pint ice cream. Is that your thing? Yeah. Well, most people, day-to-day things are like, I don't know, just feeding yourself. A lot of people are actually skipping a meal. 66% are concerned about their ability to take a vacation or travel. Yeah, screw the vacation, you're done. Now, John Kerry doesn't need a vacation. He flies all over the world, man. He gets wined and dined and the whole deal. Gets to fly to, you know, wherever. Gets put up in a nice hotel, eats five-star meals. You don't need a vacation where you just show up and lie about stuff. Get glad-handed. Yeah. 73% of us say we're concerned about the ability to purchase a big-ticket item, and 73% said that they're concerned about their ability to save money right now. So maybe you're thinking about that new stove. Maybe you're thinking about that new dishwasher because you need one. My family, we had a microwave that didn't work for a month. We finally had home warranty come out, but we didn't buy a new one. 7 in 10 working full or part-time are concerned about their plans for retirement. Well, forget about that. Unless you got a government job, or maybe you're in academia, then you're set. 6 in 10 parents of children under the age of 18 are concerned about their ability to pay for child care. But you know the government's going to take care of that because Joe Biden says they're going to take care of child care. And by the way, the Democrats have been promising they're going to fix the child care for, I don't know, about 50 years. Here's Jerome Powell. He's the chair of the Fed, and he says that despite what I've just read to you, the economy's in great shape.
So the U.S. economy is actually in pretty strong shape. So if you look back a year, the U.S. economy grew more than 5.5%. It was really the big reopening year. And so we had expected this year.
Yeah, 83% of Americans are cutting back on personal spending due to inflation, by the way. Yeah, there's another poll, by the way, 83%.
To be that growth would moderate to a more sustainable path.
It's AAA. It's not political.
We also, of course, are raising interest rates, and the aim of that is to slow.
Because it's the only thing they have, all right? I could be the freaking Fed chair. I swear to God, because whenever it's a Democrat, it's always the same thing. You spend too much damn money, you make the currency worthless, inflation starts to go, you raise interest rates so people have to pay more to buy houses, people have to buy more to buy cars, although the price of cars is obscene right now. This is the only arrow in their quiver.
Growth down so that supply will have a chance to catch up. We hope that growth can still remain positive.
Back to academia, I say.
But if you look at it, the strength of the economy, households are in very strong financial.
Now, listen to this, because he's going to tell you that everything's in good shape except for one group of people. We won't worry about them.
Shape. They've still got a lot of excess savings from you know, forced saving from not being able to travel and things like that, and also from fiscal.
Nothing like forced savings
transfers. So households are overall, not every household, and not the ones at the lower end of the income spectrum. But
Okay. You know, households by and large, not those people at the lower end of the income spectrum. You know, by the way, that would basically, I think, right now, considering like under 40 grand a year. I'm not kidding. Under 40 grand a year. A combined household income of 50 grand a year right now. Doesn't mean anything.
Overall, in strong state. The same thing is true of businesses. Very, very low rates of default and things like that. Lots of cash on the balance sheet. The labor market is tremendously strong, you know, still averaging very, very high.
Yeah, because everything's so damned expensive, you have to work.
Job growth per month. So overall, the U.S. economy is well positioned.
Yeah, I'm not feeling it. I'm not feeling it. And everything's more expensive this year. It looks like that the average price for a 10-person cookout is up to $70. That's $10 higher than last year. Remember last year when Jen Psaki bragged that hot dogs were 16 cents less than they were last year?
Than gas being a dollar more. Does the White House think that 16 cents off a barbecue has more of an impact on people's lives than gas being a dollar more this time this.
I would say if you don't like hot dogs, you may not care of the reduction of cost. You don't have to like hot dogs.
You can't buy a hot dog for 16 cents.
A reduction of.
Yeah, she bragged. They bragged about a 16% or 16 cent drop in your cookout price last year. This year, it's through the ceiling. $69 for a party of 10. Okay, wherever you live, sure. A little bit more on the economy. Going to move right into the abortion thing. Some insanity from the left and doxing gun owners. That's what they want to do now. Now that it's easier to get concealed carry, and a special guest, Sam Sorbo, coming up next. Don't go anywhere. Is the Rob Carson Show. I guess, would you call this kind of a Friday? See, I remember this when I did morning radio, generally on Thursday before a three-day weekend. It was kind of a blow-off day. Some days. We'll see. Maybe you have to work your second job this weekend. I'm sure maybe many of you, you probably have, you know. This is the Biden administration. You know, Jen Psaki, we just heard Jen Psaki from last year. She said you're going to save 16 cents. And that was a big deal. That's what they think of you. They think they don't know. They don't understand money because money's never an issue. They're the kind of folks like Kim Kardashian. Do you suppose Kim Kardashian ever goes to the grocery store? Well, she never goes to the grocery store. But if she did, do you suppose she'd ever look at the prices? Do you suppose if she goes anywhere, she ever looks at the prices? You know, maybe just kind of as a little aside. Oh, yeah, look, it's only $10,000 for that pinky ring, you know, which would probably be cheap. But you and I don't live that way. You and I don't live that way. Every penny's a big deal. But here's Corinne Jean-Pierre the other day when there was a possibility. They were talking about getting rid of the federal income, the tax on gas, which would save you 18 cents, which would save you $3 a week for the average family, $12 a month, even after they've tacked on another $250 on the price of filling your car for a month. Here's Corinne Jean-Pierre bragging about what 18 cents could do to change your life.
He sees this as an opportunity, a straightforward, simple way to deal with the pain that the American people is dealing with, giving them some relief at the pump. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
It's straightforward. It's simple. The president would like.
What are you going to do with all that money?
Congress to act. We're talking about, 18 cents per gallon, which is going to go a long way.
Yeah. But then they discovered that, wait a minute. We're going to allow people to keep money that they normally send to us. Yeah, let's go ahead and skip that. Hey, by the way, our special guest is here. Ladies and gentlemen, the author of Words for Warriors, the host of Schools Out on Epic TV, Sam Sorbo joins us on the phone. Hello, Sam. How are you?
Well, it's great to be here with you.
Sam, I know your husband from way back, by the way.
Yeah, so do I actually.
I know, crazy. I used to live in Minneapolis. I used to do morning radio in Minneapolis. And I know that he's a Minnesota native. I used to talk to him back in the day when he was Hercules.
That's so right. Well, we're headed back there in a couple weeks, so very excited about that.
Lovely. And I hear the ice is finally off the lakes up there.
Yeah, but they're still trying to wreck that state, unfortunately.
Yeah, yes, I know. And when you've got a literally the ruling party in the state of Minnesota is the DFL, the Democrat Farmers and Laborers Party. It doesn't get more hammers and sickle than that, does it, Sam?
Yeah, I guess not. But what? The good news is there's hope on the horizon.
There is hope on the horizon, and I know that you are. And I saw your son, just an outstanding young man. His name, Braden, talking about the big workshop you're at, the playbook for home learning. And
that's
you just
right.
got a major victory in the Supreme Court this last week or so, with the Supreme Court saying that you could use vouchers even if your kid's school, the school that you choose, is a religious school. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, every school is a religious school. Let's not mince words. Every school supports one worldview, a worldview of whatever their choice is, right? And so the government schools promote the worldview that government is God and that government is the answer to all of your problems. And that's what they are promoting in government schools. It's a human secularism, and it is actually an aversion toward anything Christian or Jewish or Muslim, for that matter. It's an aversion toward what we call the world religions, but it is its own religion. And so I think that the Supreme Court, came around and saw that. And I think that this is a great victory. Although I will say, I don't believe that children belong in school. And that's why I did my playbook for home learning, is to try to teach parents that they can avoid the slave system that the school imposes, really, on children, because they impose beliefs on children. They impose rigid structure on children. And it would be fine if it were a classical Christian structure in one sense, but in another sense, they are extraordinarily limiting. They, for instance, they kill creativity. They kill curiosity. And, of course, curiosity is the number one ingredient you need to start learning, to start education. But they put the kibosh on that. The moment that you step through the doors by telling you, you have to raise your hand before you ask a question, you have to ask permission to ask a question, you're not allowed to just learn willy-nilly. You have to prepare to learn, and you have to sit there and be taught, you know. And all of those things are limitations on us. Mm-hmm. So I'm excited about the Supreme Court ruling to strike down Roe v. Wade, and now at least the issue goes back to the state.
I have an interesting audio clip I want you to hear. This is Scott Ziegler, the superintendent of Loudoun County Schools. He's the guy who covered up the rape by the transgendered student of the girl that whose father was summarily beaten at a school board meeting and dragged out. This is Scott Ziegler talking, I believe this is yesterday, about he let it slip about indoctrination. Hold on, let me play this, and hopefully you can hear it okay.
A statement or some content addressing where we are in that process, something brief. Dr. Ziegler, would you be interested in providing that to the community?
Okay, wait for it.
At school.
Everything that Mr. Mahevdi mentioned is part of the rollout plan. So we have a pretty robust indoctrination plan.
He said we have a pretty robust indoctrination plan before he corrected himself.
Ready to go. Inculturation plan.
Inculturation plan. Is that hilarious? Is that hilarious? Now, I followed that closely because our anchor station is WCBM in Baltimore, and I lived in Washington, D.C. area for a dozen years, and it became a hotbed. And an interesting thing, this wonderful woman named Azra Nomani, who is a liberal, who is a Democrat voter, she ended up being a champion for kids fighting against idiocy like CRT and sexualizing our children. When you saw what happened in Loudoun County and the state of Virginia with the election of a Republican governor on the schools issue, what did you think?
Oh, that's such a broad question. Well, I know that child abuse has been going on in our schools for decades. In fact, I hold that we have all been school injured to one degree or another. And I don't hold the teachers necessarily accountable. There are some very evil, bad teachers that are teaching bad doctrine in our schools, right? But by and large, teachers enter the system in order to help people. The problem is the system. The system is terrible. The system is what enslaves us. The system is why we have half the nation that still insists on wearing masks, even though the studies have come out to show that people die more frequently with COVID if they are heavily masked than people with COVID, you know, who don't wear the masks necessarily all the time. They don't die as frequently or, you know. So, the studies are out, but we are not, we've been taught not to go to the studies, we've been taught to go to the experts. And the experts that we've chosen, unfortunately, or the experts that have been chosen for us, are terrible. They're not experts. I mean, I just heard the head of the Fed, I think, saying there was no way to predict inflation. No, not unless you were a thinking, waking person who actually had two brain cells to rub together. Yes, holy smokes, it's crazy. And so my idea is get them out of the system and get them into actual education, which is unabashed learning about the world, and guide them in that process. And that's what I try to inform parents, that they are more than capable of doing this themselves if they love their children. The children are worth it. So I saw what was going on, and I saw the outrage, and I see a number of people running for school board, and I think that that's great. But take your children off the front lines, because there are still people in the school that wish ill on your child, and they will try to teach your child that individual is not either a boy or a girl, that their gender is fluid, that they can cut off their body parts and become something else, self-mutilation. All of those things are running rampant through the system today. And I don't care if you're in a small town, if you're in a big city, nobody ever predicted that Loudoun County was going to go this way. No. Nobody ever predicted the other things that have been happening in the various school systems. Nobody predicted Uvalde. But I'll tell you something. You teach young men that there is no hope, that life is just a series of accidents and has no value, and tell them that survival of the fittest and bullying is the law of the land, and it's no wonder that these disgruntled teenagers go in and shoot up schools.
Yeah.
So we have to be very careful going forward, and it's, you have to save your families. The family is the structure. The school's actual intent has been to destroy the family structure. They've robbed the children from the parents. They've robbed the parents from the children. And they've made the parents complicit in this grand larceny.
Yeah.
If you don't believe me, go watch Truth and Lies in Education. It's a fabulous documentary about a young woman who just goes on a search to try to figure out why there are some people who are so interested in homeschooling when it's so much easier to just send your kids into the system, right, to get an education.
Yeah. And by the way, go ahead.
Yeah,
go ahead, I'm sorry.
The way that we think about education, the very way that we think about education is wrong. Because why? Because we've all been schooled, not educated, by what we call our education system. They taught us how to think about education. They taught us to rely on them. They taught us that they are the harbingers of truth, and they're not. And we're finally seeing that with everything that's happening in the schools today. We're finally opening up our eyes. But we have to take a step further back and say, well, wait a minute. If all the lies that they're teaching right now are true, are happening, right, then maybe they were teaching lies a decade ago. Yeah, you think? Maybe two decades ago. Uh-huh. Go back 100 years. Sure, we can do that too. And the whole system comes crumbling down, and you're set free. And that's what I'm about. I'm about emancipation.
I love it.
For the individuals and for the families.
You know, the thing that I said the day after Uvalde was, is it any surprise that two men, one in Buffalo and one in Uvalde, Texas, who presumably were freshmen or sophomore in school, when they were told that they couldn't go to school because they were all going to die because of an ungodly virus that was going to kill everyone, all of your friends, all of your family, all of this. You had to wear a mask, even a year after they discovered that masks were completely worthless. They load up kids. They discovered years ago that if they call it ADD instead of, I don't know, just being a kid, that they would be able to medicate the children. You know, that's what recess was for, Sam. Recess was ADD meds. They gave you one in the morning at 15 minutes.
God,
they gave you
me.
One at lunch for a half an hour.
That's
they gave
the
you
truth.
One in the afternoon. Dear God in heaven. You know what I like to say? And you can use it if you want. I say that you call it an attention deficit disorder. I say people that can actually focus on something like read a book for several hours, they have a disorder. It's called attention surplus syndrome. You spell it. what a bunch of crap.
Wait a minute. You just grouped me in that class.
Well, you know what? I get tired of being told, listen, Sam, I can do a lot of things. Not very well, but I can do a lot of things at one time. I can get like, oh, there's a squirrel. Hold on, I want to hammer a nail. But as far as calling that a disorder, I don't think it's a disorder, Sam.
No, I don't think it's a disorder that young men really should be out climbing trees and don't.
Gee, and God in heaven.
The whole system is geared against them. And we've known this for a while now, right? The entire system is geared against male and masculinity. And we have to stop that. We have to cut that out. Because
Amen.
If we emasculate our young men, then where are the feminists going to go?
Yes.
There's nothing to fight against, right? If we make all of our men feminine, then the game's up. The game's up, but there's nowhere, right? And then we'll just stop procreating, which it seems to be the end result, right?
Well, you know, they even call masculinity toxic. And I got to tell you, there's some toxic femininity out there. For instance, my wife makes me watch 3 hours of HGTV every night. That's about as toxic femininity as you can possibly get. Sam, I want to have you on again on the show because I think you're fascinating. I haven't talked to your husband in many, many years, but it's great to reconnect and also to connect with you. We've had a bunch of big victories in the last 2 weeks with the Supreme Court on Roe v. Wade. By the way, you may not know this. I'm the product of a sexual assault. That's why I was giving up for adoption. So I just found that out a couple years ago. Kind of another quiver in my pro-life another arrow. You've got the vouchers. You just today a carbon. The FDA or the EPA cannot regulate coal-fired plants in different states. This and a voter ID. It sounds like we're making some headway as conservatives. Sam, do you feel some optimism? Optimism with not only Supreme Court decisions, but also just polling, just the American people in general. What do you think?
I'm intensely optimistic because I don't think that you can crush freedom quite so easily in the United States. It's sort of in our blood. That said, they have been educating us away from it for over a century, I would say. And so we are in dangerous territory, and we need to start fighting for our families. And that's why, and I really urge people, go to samsorbo.com, sign up for the newsletters, sign up for Underground Education, which is my online underground education railroad, if you will, to emancipate people from the slave system that is our current school system, from the abuse that happens in the schools. And tune into the TV show also. Epic TV carries the show. It's called Schools Out with Sam Sorbo. You can find everything at samsorbo.com. We need to educate ourselves. We haven't been educated. I don't care if you have a PhD. You haven't been educated if you went to government schools in the United States. You've been schooled. You've been schooled to believe certain things. And those things are wrong, many of them. Not everything, obviously. We have people who know stuff and are very good at their jobs and are very good. But I'll tell you something. We've been schooled. We've been schooled away from spirituality, for instance. You started this whole conversation with the indoctrination. That's been happening for decades. That's been happening since they took the Bible out of schools, right?
Hey, Sam, and we've got to run. We're up against a hard break. Yeah. I greatly appreciate you joining me again. Let's have you on, like, again soon and often. I love this. SamSorbo.com, SamSorbo.com. And remember, to all those kids who have ADD, just tell the people who don't that you are, you know, you're an ass. There you go. Thanks for joining me. And tell Kevin I said hi. Have a glorious weekend, okay?
Thank you.
All right, let's take a break. It's the Rob Carson Show.
His first grade teacher said he talked out of turn. Worse after he's missed a day. Well, things haven't changed. It's the Rob Carson Show.
Well, I didn't expect that from Sam Sorbo. Dang, she was awesome. Sam Sorbo kicks butt. That was wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Going to have her on again and again and again. Just absolutely, absolutely awesome what you said about education, getting your kids out of public schools. And this is interesting. And I grew up in Southwest Iowa, and my graduating class had 70 kids. And we didn't go through the indoctrination thing in my school. We didn't. When I was at home, we'd watch TV, and between the cartoons was Schoolhouse Rock, and it was patriotic, and it was multicultural, and Sesame Street, multicultural. Television was multicultural. We watched the Jeffersons and Good Times and Roots and All in the Family and all of these things. You know, it was all multicultural. And at school, you know, we had the alphabet up there. We had the American flag. We said the Pledge of Allegiance every morning. And all the boys knew they were boys, and all the girls they knew they were girls. Sure, they were dead. There were some gay people in the, you know, yeah, sure, whatever. But honestly, just this nonsense, just this nonsense that's going on in public schools is just that. I just wish more teachers and more administrators were a little bit more receptive and fighting back a little more, maybe a little more vocally. And I'm not, you know, maybe you are a teacher, maybe you are. I don't want to pin this on teachers. You're being pressured to do a lot of things, many things I'm sure you probably don't approve of. And I honestly believe that, you know, if you can believe that 99% of police officers are in there to protect the public safety, and they're in there to do the right thing, then you could say the same thing about teachers. They're not necessarily there to indoctrinate children, but they are given orders. And those orders are passed down from people who are much more powerful than they are. That includes the DEA. That includes the teachers' unions and whatnot. So samsorbo.com, samsorbo.com, if you want to check that out. I've got a lot of stuff I need to get to. We're in a little bit late here. I want to get into Wanda Sykes the other night on I believe it was Stephen Colbert's show, who exemplified the American left and why we should never get rid of the filibuster. I know that sounds weird. You don't expect that kind of smart to come out of somebody like Wanda Sykes, and trust me, she's not taking the smart tack, but it'll serve it as an example as well. The phone number here is 800-922-6680. Let's take a break. You are listening to The Rob Carson Show. Yeah, you know, if you have ever been accused of having an attention deficit disorder... By the way, and listen, I know there's some kids need meds, but, you know, ADD used to be, kids having a short attention span. The reason why they have a recess, 15 minutes in the morning, noon you get a half an hour, 15 minutes in the afternoon, because they got to burn off that energy if they're going to sit in the chair all day. See what I mean? So the next time somebody says maybe you have ADD, just tell them you have attention surplus syndrome. I may be ADD, but you're ASS.